Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Welcome back to the Ryer on YouTube channel, where it is time once again for Aftermath. This time following the Alabama Crimson Tide's 28-7 loss to the Georgia Bulldogs in the 2025 SEC Championship game. Really all Georgia from the outset. I mean, you had a couple of exchanges of punts. But then, speaking of punts, you had a partial block of an Alabama punt from Blake Dowd. And afterwards, we just heard from Kalen DeBoer, by the way, in the post-game press conference from Atlanta. DeBoer said that was an area that was impacted by the absence of LT Overton. You had a new face, as Kalen DeBoer described it, right there in that spot. And the check wasn't either made or didn't fully connect. And with that, you got the pressure. It also seemed like Dowd took a little while to get that out of there. So Georgia gets the big play in the kicking game early. One of those short field situations. You think about the last couple of losses for Alabama with Oklahoma and Georgia, the common theme, the common denominator, right? Short fields. Alabama did that in the loss to Oklahoma a couple weeks back. And then once again, on multiple occasions to the Georgia Bulldogs. So give Georgia a lot of credit. Georgia did what it needed to do and made some of those plays. I mean, they blocked the punt. They got the hand on the punt to set that up, had the interception and the return. Really an emphasis for Georgia defensively on shutting down the middle of the field. Obviously, of the belief with 12 games of tape that at this point, a couple things. Alabama isn't a threat to hurt you with the run game. And then also, Alabama isn't a threat to hurt you over the top because from a protection standpoint, they have issues and or just an unwillingness or inability to make it hurt in that area of the football field. But again, Georgia dominant, Alabama just an incredible struggle offensively in the first half. Got a little better there in the second half. Had a chance to put some needed lipstick on the pig with selection Sunday tomorrow, and it was looking better at 21-7, and then the Crimson Tide elects to go for it from inside its own 20 on a 4th-and-2, throw a ball outside the numbers. And that was an NFL out throw you're trying to make on 4th-and-2. That's a lot to have to try to convert a 4th-and-2. It goes incomplete. Georgia throughout the game offensively, Mike Bobo kept this incredibly simple, and why wouldn't you? They kept it really easy on Gunnar Stockton, utilized the Zacharius Branch very well. We talked about right here on the channel Wednesday night, Talking Tide, if you were with us or you saw that show or listened to it in podcast form, what did we talk about? Who did I talk about? Dylan Bell. As much as you want to talk about Gunnar Stockton, as much as people want to talk about the run game for Georgia, Dylan Bell is a guy Mike Bobo loves and utilizes very, very well. And Dylan Bell was a real problem throughout the game. Alabama defensively, I tend not to throw much shade that way. Yes, I guess you could say red zone defense could have been better at times. Had a couple of chances to really get off the field and at least force field goals. Wasn't able to do it. But this one goes back to really Alabama's offense first and foremost. You pick someone. I know Ty Simpson, a lightning rod right now, because he had kind of been trending in that direction. I'll say this for Ty, though, even last week, as bad as it was at times in the red zone, three touchdown passes. This you just weren't in the red zone enough. You know, at halftime, this felt like Alabama, LSU, and New Orleans back in January 2012. It was that dominant and that inept. Dominance from Georgia. A couple things could be true. Dominance from Georgia, ineptitude from Alabama. I think those two things were very much hand in hand at Mercedes-Benz Stadium on Saturday evening. So what's next for the Alabama Crimson Tide? Well, you did the one thing you didn't want to do. You gave this selection committee the crack, perhaps more than a crack, to exclude you from the 2025-2026 college football playoff. After that performance, you kind of get what you get tomorrow. And I know it's more about the resume and teams like Notre Dame, Miami, didn't even play today. You know, sat home comfortable and watched it all go down. So I know all that comes into play. But if we're also talking about teams that are trending in the right direction, I don't think Alabama's in that discussion. And again, I understand you played third-ranked team in the country on a neutral field tonight. Played a really, really good Georgia team. An elite Georgia team by Kirby standards? No. But still very good. Lost to a top 10 team in Oklahoma. So those are where the losses came through down the stretch. As much as anything, I keep going back, though, to Florida State in the opener. That's, to me, the one right now that is like stepping in dog crap and you can never get it off the bottom of your shoe. And you've already tracked it all through the shag carpet in your grandmama's lake house. That's kind of what it feels like with that Florida State loss, too. It's the gift that doesn't keep giving, Clark. We're going to get into your comments, your thoughts from this SEC championship game. You have a few here already. We'll start with Dave Roll Tide says, please tell me we can still make the playoff. I think Alabama can still make the playoff. Would I bet on it at 7:31 Central the Saturday night before the selection show, Dave? I probably would not. Another Dave, Alla Dave, says, yeah, Alabama can make it. But can Alabama actually win a game? On the road at, say, Oklahoma, perhaps? Tough to envision that right now. And I thought Kalen postgame, in terms of how this all turned quickly or pivots quickly to the college football playoff, I thought he was ready. It almost felt like Kalen was too ready, maybe. Like, he anticipated this, which, if I'm an Alabama fan, I don't know how much I like that. But it just felt like he was better prepared for making the pitch for a 10-3 Alabama team being in the playoff than his team was prepared for Georgia. But it was good. I mean, he did what he needed to do. I will say that. He didn't complicate or compound things by having his team look like it looked Saturday and then show up at the press conference like, well, whatever happens, happens. I mean, he outlined it. You know, even on that block punt, he was ready. And he played that into LT Overton's absence. You know, he talked about how continuity in the offense. I thought he was pretty revealing in talking about continuity in the offense had been a problem because of injuries not even related to Parker Brailsford and Josh Quavis. And I think you can see that, you know, if you kind of understand some of these guys, you understand the competitor Jeremy Bernard is, and then you watch him on some plays here down the stretch, you do wonder, even with a guy like him, you know, how is he dealing with things from a health perspective 12, 13 games into the season? But we'll see. Feels like you're almost asking for a stay, a late hour stay at this point where the college football playoff prognosis is concerned. Jack asking if Alabama practiced at all last week. Yeah, I don't think there was a parade after the Iron Bowl. But yeah, that's a fair question, because some of the things you thought you would see from Alabama offensively, you actually saw from Mike Bobo in Georgia in terms of the easy touches and how, you know, Georgia wasn't explosive. I don't think Georgia had an offensive play of more than 20 yards, did they? And, you know, third down, 6 of 16, but they were 2 of 2 on 4, so they were 500 between third and fourth. Alabama between third and fourth downs, 4 for 16. Georgia held the football too. That's what I felt too during the game. I tweeted this on X. Kirby's not a show his ass guy once he gets up 14 to nothing. you know, or even 21. He just wants to control the game. Like we heard his mentor, his teacher, Nick Saban, say many times before. You know, you get up 21-0 and you're controlling the game, you're good with getting out of there. But Alabama, because of the short fields, now this probably isn't a 28-7 game without the short fields, but they absolutely are. And Georgia had a lot to do with that between the kicking game and the interception. Georgia 4-for-4. Again, I go back to that with red zone with the Alabama defense. Would have liked to have seen, you know, force a field goal or two there, you know, wasn't able to do it. What else do we have here? Jack says the Alabama offensive line is trash. Wasn't great tonight. There were still times I thought against Auburn you saw the right side at times, and you're dealing with a situation at center right now with Brailsford health-wise. Didn't always look like they had the right guys blocked. And you saw some of that, I thought, at times tonight. Kirby will dial it up, you know. Kirby's not a big pressure guy usually. As we talked about here on the channel, Georgia came into this game with just 17 sacks in 12 games. They had three in the second half tonight. Yes, James, I did watch Kalen's postgame presser. Just talked about it. And he was pretty revealing. And I thought he was effective in how he presented Alabama's case. And also talking about some guys that were close to playing tonight would certainly be able to play in 2 weeks. I think Josh Cuevas, you've missed him tremendously these last couple weeks. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I thought LT Overton, in addition to your punt team, you know, you had a third and goal, and it was third and like goal from the 10, right? Something like that. I think it was Georgia's first touchdown. You try to run a game with Edrick Hill and Jordan Renaud, you're bringing four, so you're not bringing the house, but you're also not rushing three there, which you don't want to do down there, I don't think. But Renaud and Hill just, it wasn't executed well at all. You essentially brought two guys. They got it picked up. You know, Stockton's got plenty of time. Silverblade chimes in here. Weirdest blowout I've seen in a minute. UGA under 300 yards. Yeah, it was kind of like Oklahoma, although this was much more decisive. And like I said, you know, earlier, Kirby's fine with that. Kirby isn't one of these hold my beer guys when he gets up 21 or so. He's good. Let's get out of here. And it doesn't matter if it's Alabama or Tennessee Tech.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
I think some people see Georgia games and, wow, they only beat Tennessee Tech or someone like that, 31-3. Wow. Game's over. Saban was kind of that way too. Deborah chiming in. What's your opinion of Grubb's play calling? I didn't think the plan helped Ty Simpson at all. Ty wasn't good, but I don't think the plan was any better. You know, come out with a couple of felt like just throwaway runs to Daniel Hill. You know, you got some positive yards out of them. But I thought his best play call was sort of the army ball play with Jeremy Bernard throwing the lateral off the slant. That was Grubb from the club. But in terms of establishing what their strengths are early, they weren't able to do it. And again, Georgia was not going to let Alabama work the middle of the field. That dig route, you know, that 15-yard crosser, those type of things. I thought Alabama early in the game had man coverage opportunities with Ryan Williams. didn't really look to go there on deep ball. And that could be on Ty. You know, maybe that's where it was supposed to go. I thought Ty, though, on the touchdown drive, and it helped with Georgia having the penalties. I did think Ty made some really nice throws there. He had one to Ryan that was on the money. Ryan's got to catch that ball in the end zone. And then he's getting the big pressure. And this was probably one other call I'd look to with Grubb and say he had it dialed up. He was he had it on, was the kind of the middle screen there to Bernard that ended up going for the touchdown. Yeah, I tweeted this to Nelson, to your point, after the game. There has been a lot of good things during this season for Alabama, but initial impression and last impression, woof. You know, getting dominated by a what has turned out to be a not good Florida State team. And then on that big stage tonight, those are big stages. Season opener and SEC championship game, you just got your lunch money taken. It's not a good look going into tomorrow. Also here from Silverblade, if Bama gets in, they will play at A&M, who has a ferocious pass rush. Yes, they do. Was it Cassius Howell for A&M? They do have a ferocious pass rush. And, you know, Texas in that game against A&M, really the difference to me in the second half was A&M or Texas got the run game going, and they got it going with the quarterback, which was interesting too tonight, because really wasn't any design runs for Ty. Had a couple against Auburn last week. And I guess in some ways you got to think big picture in that game. You're trying to win the game, but you're also thinking, well, you know, if we lose Ty Simpson, and I know y'all are going to come after this in terms of Ty's play of late, but if you go in front of the committee without a starting quarterback tomorrow, that's a big problem. And again, I know you're going to hit that one hard. Joe Webb says the defense was good. I thought they were, especially between the 20s. Red zone, 4 for 4 for Georgia, 4 touchdowns. Now, a couple of those touchdowns come off those short fields. So what's realistic also? Jay Favell is not happy with Kalen DeBoer. Says DeBoer is making up plenty of excuses. He needs some media training course. I think Kalen tonight, though, is doing what Kalen's got to do. It's desperation mode with the CFP. And, you know, it's also interesting now because we have player availability report. So some of the things you hear in retrospect don't necessarily maybe line up with the availability reports. You got to be careful with that, because you could hear it from the league office. If you're talking about, well, these guys all were hurt and beat up and couldn't really go, but they went. So the league, I would think their answer to that would be, well, why weren't they on the report? And I'm sure Georgia had the same thing, man. Jack says Alabama kept FSU out a few years ago, and FSU will keep Alabama out this year. Jordan Travis's injury probably kept FSU out as much as anything. I think if Jordan Travis doesn't get hurt, Florida State is in. Frank07 says, with the playoffs on the line and Ty unable to make an accurate throw beyond 5 yards, why didn't they try a different QB? I mean, you get this deep into it, there's so much invested. And again, you know, Ty wasn't great last week, but he made 3 throws that were difference makers. Do you feel like that's a place where you want to run out a true freshman or another guy who hadn't played a lot? You know, I mean, I'd have to see a lot of really good things from one of those guys. Like even with Tua in the second half of that Georgia game in January 2018, I think you had seen enough. You know, Nick and that staff had worked to really get Tua in games. I think you had seen Tua enough to think, you know, he could do it. And there were in the pieces around Tua in 2017, Come on, not even close, right? Starting with the offensive line. Let's see. Now, I wasn't all in on a quarterback change at the half. Tua style, Jalen style. Quarterback play, the offense, it was a real problem. It felt like the plan didn't help Ty enough, and other guys didn't play well either, man. Gang, I know you, it's easy to just say Ty, but who played good for Alabama offensively tonight? Jeremy came on in the second half. The passing game in general came on in the second half. I thought Caleb Edwards did some nice things. I would have liked to have seen more of an attempt with him and or Marshall Pritchett earlier in the game. I'd like to have seen more of that against Auburn last week. It just kind of felt like, well, Quavis is out. So there goes that part. You know, and Edwards had a big drop. He took a shot, so I'm not ripping on him. It's a play he probably makes next year, but the play on the deflection that he had was very good. So we'll see. Yeah, now, if you want to have that discussion, if Ty was hurting to the point where he just couldn't do it, then yeah, I mean, you can talk about that. Yeah, I think that's still part of this thing. Asma Springer. I think that's still part of this thing going into tomorrow. I mean, a team that had to go play another game after the schedule that Alabama played, are you really going to still hammer them for the loss tonight? And I know it was ugly. Borderline embarrassing in a lot of ways. Not borderline, in some ways it was. But to Asma's point, it seems Alabama was tired and hurt. They have played a very physical schedule, should have had a bye week before this game. Yeah. Yeah, that's a stat that will sting. And that's one that your boy, Hunter Yurecek, Mr. Run Game, you get the sense if Alabama's not in tomorrow, it ain't going to take Honey long to get to that -3 total rushing yards, is it? No, he'll have that one on the tip of his tongue if Alabama is left out and he's asked about it. Joe says, Alabama's soft. We got whipped again in the trenches, and Grubb is not all that. I think between the offense and special teams, regardless of how this goes tomorrow and beyond, there will be the need, and I'm sure it will happen, for very honest introspection. Alabama special teams haven't been good enough. And I know we can talk about, well, you know, Overton was out, new guy in his place. 13 games in the season, you've been repping his backup on calls. And this, you didn't just put that guy in there this week. And I'll say that about the offensive line too. I mean, we talked so much about the rotation early in the season. And then you kind of settled on something here in the last 2 or 3 weeks, but you know, you still had issues. Could be both there. Again, a couple things can be true at once. Egoing 74 says Simpson is either playing hurt or he has regressed. Two things can be true. I don't have any doubt Ty's feeling it physically right now. And then you complicate that when you don't have a crutch for him. There's no crutch for Ty Simpson. There's no Derrick Henry or TJ Yeldon or a run game, even like you had with Brian Robinson and Chase McClellan. You know, you don't even have that with this team. So it's a lot on that dude too. I the easy and in some ways lazy reaction to Ty's play is, well, put another guy in there. Well, you put another guy in there, maybe they're fresher, you know, maybe they got a little more pep, you know, maybe they haven't felt the effects of a long season or beaten down by it. And they can bring some things dynamically to the position that Ty just didn't have. I mean, Ty, as I said, even back in the floor after the Florida State game, he's not a dynamic runner, but he was still a better runner back then than he was in the 13th game, you know, and he was ditching tonight. He was feeling it. In some ways, I can't blame him. Mr. Goat says Nick Saban would have pulled Ty Simpson out. I don't know. I've seen Nick ride some guys back in the day. Nick wasn't a big quarterback puller, as I recall. I mean, all the talk is about and will ever forever be about Tua for Jalen. But what are the other times you remember where he just benched a quarterback? I mean, I guess 2015 before you finally settled on Jake Coker, you know? I know he did it in 16, but that was going into the season both those times, 15 and 16. You know, that was – he didn't know who the starting quarterback was. Some of y'all are already waving goodbye to Kalen DeBoer. Foodie Austin says, going on fourth inside the eight was shocking considering we could have kicked it to the D, get it back for another offensive go. I think that last 7 points nailed the CFP window shut. And that's another area where Kalen in the post game was very adamant about why he went for it there. As he said post game, Alabama was there to win an SEC championship. It's a smart comment. Now, you don't have to like the decision. I was surprised by it too. I mean, I get fourth downs and those type of things are who he is and who Alabama has been. But yeah, at that spot on the field and still a 2-score game, maybe if it's 28-7, but at 21-7, game still to me felt like it was pretty much over. But sure, if you're talking about cosmetically, maybe it's a little bit better, but to his point, post-game, he said he wasn't there to try to keep it looking better. They were there to try to win an SEC championship. Unfortunately, the offensive performance in the first three quarters was nowhere close to what was needed. I don't think they're built right now, Christopher, to really be all that diverse in the run game. The offensive line and the sort of running back situation. Jam being out tonight, I think it was more of a problem in pass pro. Although I think Daniel Hill at times for what Georgia was bringing, he stuck his face in the fan. I was impressed. And you did see AK Deer in the game. You also saw AK Deer go into pass protection mode when Ty Simpson's anticipating him taking a handoff on an outside zone. So, you know, that answers some of the questions about why doesn't this young running back play more. And also at Alabama, it's not just knowing the plays, it's knowing the checks. Because Ty, as we've heard repeatedly, has that autonomy to make those checks. So it's great if you know the play call, but you got to know the checks too, or you got to know how to react when adjustments are made. We got some, it might be some Texas fans here in the chat too. Silverblade says, if we play another Big Ten team in a bowl game, we're cooked too. Can see the 14-point loss to Illinois already. You think Brett Bielema would have the Illini fired up? Yeah, I mean, you spend, you know, all this time pushing towards a college football playoff spot, you don't make it. Motivation, I think, would be a real problem. Just see the Michigan game in Tampa for more on that. Jacob says, with the way Georgia was sending heat, I don't know why waited till fourth quarter to use screen game to Jeremy and the tight end game. Yeah, they got around to it. Took a while. But eventually you saw it. And again, Georgia, more of that. Even when Alabama wasn't blitzing, they were just like, look, well, we're going to give Gunnar Stockton mostly. Now, the touchdown throw to Dylan Bell was that was a nice ball. Now, it started with protection. He had all day back there. And Keon Sabb on Dylan Bell, you kind of know how that's going to go. But, yeah, there was more stuff. There were some third down play calls that felt like second down play calls. And then there were some second half things that felt like, where was that in the first half? T. Sully chiming in. Lots of guys are hurt. Couldn't practice at full speed all week. That affects timing, route running, play calling. Talked about that earlier. We did hear that from Kalen DeBoer, which, yes, that has to be taken into account. I understand. Post-game, after a performance like that, most folks don't want to hear any of that, but it absolutely impacts things. Now, the tough part is kind of putting that out there to the selection committee, but then your first-round playoff game is in 2 weeks. It's not in a month. You know, you got to turn around and play in 2 weekends. So I thought Kalen tried to sort of walk that high wire, that tightrope with that argument in a way that will get a lot of these guys back. He said Cam Dewberry absolutely would be back. I thought even some of the pregame, it felt like, was presented in a way that these guys are really close, like Josh Cuevas and Jam and Cam Dewberry, you know, some of those guys. And so, you know, 2 more weeks, they'll be ready to go. Jay Fravell, Ty has an uncanny knack of running into the rush as opposed to avoiding the rush. Ty just hasn't been comfortable for a while now. I mean, that's what it goes back to. I mean, that 6-7 game stretch where he was comfortable, obviously a different guy. Yeah, I tend to go with that, Joe. Benching Ty is not the answer. I certainly don't think it was the answer tonight. And he has, as I said about the Auburn game, you know, with what he was getting in that game too, for Alabama to win that game and for him to throw 3 touchdown passes is rough as the stat line looked otherwise. Does he have to be better? Absolutely. He has to be better. But I think there's probably, you know, some things with Ty and other guys that we won't learn more about. We learned some tonight, I thought, from DeBoer in the postgame and making his case to the CFP committee about being beat up and playing the extra game and all those things. But I think there's going to be more as we get, you know, further away. You get away from the end of the season. Take it to the house, chimes in. I'd rather watch Beck and Concepcion. Next year is do or die for Kalen. I hope he succeeds. I don't know anyone that doesn't want to see Kalen DeBoer succeed. I mean, you listen to him or see him interact with his players for five minutes, and yeah, easy guy to pull for. I thought, you know, there were some really good transfer portal additions around the Southeastern Conference. I think Isaiah Horton was a solid transfer portal addition, if nothing else, for his performance against Auburn last week. And he did some other good things. But yeah, you think about some of the difference makers at that position around the Southeastern Conference this year. Concepcion for Texas A&M, Satania for Oklahoma, and then the guy tonight, Zacharius Branch and his brother Zion, coming in from USC. You take Zacharius Branch out of that offense, yeah, you could still do some of those type of things with Dylan Bell, but he gives them twitch and explosiveness at the skill position that Chauncey Bowens has some pop. hurt Alabama with that run late tonight, right between the tackles too. Well, you had some linebackers and safeties early too catching. And you kind of felt like it might be a rough night when you got Gunnar Stockton and Dylan Bell and, you know, kind of running through your linebackers and safeties, right? Shane Mobley wants to talk eyes, and I saw this too. Shane says he saw the same eyes and tie he had against FSU and Oklahoma. I saw some of that. You know, and you're not going to be able to suppress every emotion or every reaction. I get it. But, yeah, you know, when you see it, you kind of know it at this point with Ty when he's not feeling it. It's not hard to figure out. Jacob Hartline, so gut feeling, in or out? And if out, don't really think we see conference championship games go away. I'm not sure of that last part, Jay. I think maybe your question is, if Alabama's out, do the conference championships games go away? That's, you know, that's a line of thought if the precedent is set, really. That you keep an SEC championship game participant out. As I sit here tonight at just about 8 Central, I'd say out. I'd say they're out. But, you know, is the committee really going to go there with a team that, by the metrics of its league, was essentially the regular season champ and already had a win over Georgia? You know, they already had a win over Georgia. So are we saying that the only way that win earlier could have been validated was for Alabama to win in an extra game that it was forced to play, that Miami and Notre Dame were not forced to play? My gut is they're out. You know, I don't feel like if they get in, they necessarily have to apologize, I guess is what I'm saying. And if they don't get in, I think obviously there will be some frustration and certainly some anger along with that. But if we're being honest about how this team has trended at the most important time of the year, and some of it, I understand, injury related, not all of it due to its own fault, but they have wilted, you know. What did Nick Saban say? The higher you go up, the thinner the air gets. Let's see what else we have here. And that's part of it, T. Sully, that I'm talking about. Brailsford, Bernard, Rusall, Hill. You know, we did hear that from Kalen, too, tonight about Daniel Hill. You know, you're down to pretty much that guy as your back. And apparently he's playing hurt. Now, if I'm the committee, okay, all these guys are hurt. Well, what are they going to be like in a week? Because a week from this Wednesday coming up, any guys that you have that you're trying to get back or get healthy, they need to be good by a week from Wednesday. Because that's typically a cutoff date for a game week. No, Corey, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that things are going to stay the same for this coaching staff going into next year. I mean, we already know it's not going to be the same. Shep is headed to Oregon State, but I know what you're getting at in terms of, will there be some DeBoer initiated change to this coaching staff? I think there's got to be honest introspection for sure. I think that's got to happen every year, though, whether you win it all or you kind of have this type of situation. DeBoer publicly is going to talk more about adversity and the things his team has overcome, which he should, but it will be interesting. And I'm of the belief, while you're still in a good spot, even if you're coming off a good year, you better get it the way you want it, or the best you think you can get it, because you may not get a second chance. Mike Shula. I mean, ultimately, it never would have probably worked out for Mike anyway. But after that 2005 season, there were things that needed to be addressed still, obviously, with the way the end of that season went. Yeah, won the bowl game against Texas Tech, but he sat still, and then he didn't get a chance to make a to make a move. Thunder Barbar says, should have let Mac play to get a spark. Too much on hype, QB psych. Yeah, I mean, sure, if you want to bring in Austin Mack for a series or two. You know, I mean, part of it, too, is if that's the best plan you had for your starting quarterback, what's that going to look like for your backup? I mean, Austin Mack may turn out to be Patrick Mahomes, for all I know. But this ain't Jalen and Tua, okay, in 17. This isn't that situation. If you just want to talk about pure ceiling, what the hell? Just throw Keelan Russell in there then. Fat Jones, CCP says, we finally get Ryan Williams involved and we crap the bed. Yep. I thought Ryan in the first half was about the only offensive bright spot there was, and both those came off just effort type of situations, you know. There wasn't anything special about those opportunities. And again, you know, he had a chance there to make a grab for a score, and he came up empty. Fortunately for him and Alabama, you get the screen to Bernard to get into the end zone. But it's been a head scratcher, no doubt about it. I think Ryan's one of those guys, ultimately. You know, we're going to learn it was rough throughout the season, maybe from a health perspective. Let's see here. B. Jaden, why can't we execute in the run game? Players blocking scheme, play calling, or something else? I think some of you would just answer that with a blanket yes, wouldn't you? I don't know. I start up front. I start with a couple things. Personnel, obviously. And who are you, right? I mean, what's your stated purpose? And from what I've seen in 2 years of Kalen DeBoer, and even going back to Washington, it's a complementary run game. It's quarterback centric. It's passing game first, and then running game as a complement. And, you know, you're rotating 7-8 offensive linemen midway through the season. And in the backfield, you know, love Jam to death, tough dude, said it before, what he's been through this season, kind of, for me, you should be, or I should be, more complimentary of him than anything else from start to finish this season, what he's dealt with physically. I guess I need to dig in on EJ Crowell, the 5-star running back. I haven't really dug in on him just to see more so where he's at as an all-around back. I know he put, I kind of X follow him, his progress and everything. I haven't really dug in on him. I need to do that. I don't think it'll take much. He's obviously very explosive, talented, but he's a high school back. And in this offense, there's more to it. I mean, you've got to be able to pass protect. You've got to be able to basically understand two play calls when you come to the line of scrimmage, the stated play call and the check potential. You got to understand protections. You got to understand protection checks. And maybe he's advanced in that way. I'm just saying, I haven't really, but they need a boost, I think, personnel wise. I mean, Tyler Booker was at the game tonight, but he damn sure wasn't playing offensive guard, right? And then Brailsford has his issues health-wise. Brailsford very dependent on footwork and agility and technique at his size. And then you put him – and I saw him in the pregame. I don't think Yay Alabama meant to put this out there, but damn, they do a video of the pregame, and there's Brailsford with – I mean, look like a damn boot on his right foot. I mean, that's what he's playing with. So that's a problem, you know? Pete says he watched Ty quit. He took a knee instead of trying to gain a few more yards. Yeah, that was the play, right, where that was the play Deer busted, I think. Broken play. I don't know. I mean, I guess he could have kept running towards the sideline. He was dead. Play was dead. I know what you're saying, but what else do we have? Yeah, that 4th-and-2 call, it won't be on the season highlight reel, Scott. That's a tough way to try to convert a – you know, you're trying to convert a 4th-and-2 with an out cut outside the far numbers. That's tough. Meanwhile, George is converting a 3rd-and-10 with the quick game. That kind of summed up the difference in the game. Let's see. Anything else before we get out of here, gang? I know. Look, we'll see what happens tomorrow. Be on with Chase Goodbread tomorrow with Talking Tide right here on Ryder on YouTube. I know you're upset, but if you could take the time to give us a like, a thumbs up here on the channel, that would help us out tremendously. Also, subscribe to Ryder on YouTube. What the heck? It's free. Subscribe to Ryder on YouTube. Turn on that notification bell. That way you're alerted to all of our content as it drops right here on Ryder on YouTube. Best sums it up succinctly, I think. Georgia came to play, and I think they were better prepared. Also, all of our hurt players. Yeah. Multiple things can be true. No doubt about it, Beth. It's an Alabama show, so we don't get much into Georgia, but absolutely. I mean, especially that first half. That was clinic. That was woodshed in terms of coaching staff preparation, guys being of the mindset. You know, you would have thought Georgia needed to win to get into the playoff the way they played. And I think that's the best compliment you can give Kirby Smart and his team. Of the two teams, they looked and played like they had more on the line than Alabama. And I know we can talk about Alabama's injured players, but right there in the middle of that Georgia offensive line, they were without their center, Drew Bobo. And his pop, Mike Bobo, had a plan that helped cover for that, I thought. Quick game, kind of working away from that. But then they got back to it, too. They still had success between the tackles. So, absolutely, Georgia Bulldogs deserve all the credit in the world. So do you for jumping on here on a rough Saturday night, but we really appreciate you doing it. We'll be back right here on Ryder on YouTube on Sunday with some reaction and thoughts following the reveal of the upcoming college football playoff field. Will the Crimson Tide make the 12-team version for the first time? We'll see. We'll talk about it for sure with you right here on Ryder on YouTube. Thanks again. Have a great rest of your Saturday night, everybody.